The scripture for today is John 14:17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
Thanks so much, Wendell. I want to welcome each one of you here today. And I would like to open this morning with a prayer. Our God and our Father, as we come to you this morning, it's your Sabbath day that you've set aside for us, and we thank you for these few moments we can spend together, is my prayer. Amen. It's good to be here this Sabbath. What I want to talk about, and I want you people to participate, you're going to be in the audience, and you're going to see like some of these panoramic views. You can choose which audience you would like to be sitting in. I got three main audiences you can pick. One of them will be the Jewish leaders getting together to decide what they could do with Christ and Lazarus. The other one is Jesus as he just comes into Bethany for the Last Supper, the Passover, and he stops in Bethany. And then the third group is a group of people that just are on the way to Jerusalem and they want to talk and tell everything. They're excited. This is a very exciting time because you see, they're on their way to the Passover. The Passover is a special time of the year. And as they're on the way, they see Jesus. They understand that he stopped in Bethany. And I think we can take some advice from this. He stops in Bethany because he needed rest. And I think he knew what the challenge was before him and what he had to endure. And he needed that rest. So he stopped in Bethany 6 days before this transpired to get a little rest. As he's at Lazarus and Mary and Martha's house, then we find Simon asks him over. Simon had been one of his closest disciples from the beginning. Just shortly after Jesus started his ministry, he was a Pharisee and he became a disciple, but he wasn't really a converted disciple. He was a disciple by name and realized that Jesus was a good person and he was a good teacher. And that's where Simon is at this period of time. He knows Jesus because Jesus had healed him from leprosy. And so he felt obligated to Jesus. Now you see the picture. They're invited to Simon's house. It says they sat at a table. It kind of reminds me of the Orient where you sat at a table. You're probably putting your cross-legged and you sit on the floor. You have a big table in front of you. And we find Lazarus on the one side of Jesus and Simon on the other. And as the people are going through the city, everybody wanted to see Lazarus because a few weeks before, Jesus had brought Lazarus out from the dead. And they wanted to see this. I think if we was there, boy, it really would be something to see somebody that's been raised from the dead. And both of these men are there. And so we see Simon talking. We also have the 12 disciples sitting there. And we have many people that came. Usually whenever you have a big group like that, then you had all of the Pharisees and Sadducees that was always trying to pick on Jesus to find something they could put him to death for. Anyway, they were there. So there was a big group of people at this feast. And they was wanting to see what was going on. And they was reporting back to Jerusalem what was happening in Bethany. So this feast is going on quite a long time. And it's interesting how they're sitting and then just enjoying this food. But as you remember, pretty soon Mary comes in. She breaks a bottle open and pours the perfume over the top of Jesus' head. And then she washes his feet and puts the perfume on his feet. And with tears of sorrow and of joy, she wipes Jesus' feet with the hair of her head. You can imagine the smell when you get tremendous perfume, how it radiates over the whole place. And it is radiated out over all the people. And then we find Judas. He smells it. He sees what's being done. And then he starts whispering to the disciples, "What a waste. What an exorbitant amount of money. Isn't this terrible?" And he spread to the disciples. And I think this is a good example for we as church members and different people. When you say bad things or something, just insinuate something is not right, people pick up on it. And it's one thing that we know we won't have in heaven is people that know all your faults, knows all your mistakes, because they wouldn't be happy there because they'd be talking about you and me because we've all made so many mistakes. But as Judas keeps talking to the disciples and working them up, the disciples fell into this, and they kind of start murmuring and stuff. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, "Leave this woman alone, because she's done remarkable things. She's put perfume on my body before I was crucified." And then she told Simon, he was there, and he could see the same thing. And I want you to picture him. He's sitting here. He knew this woman because he had caused her to fall. And you can imagine him sitting there and he's a boy, "I don't know about this Jesus. He don't seem to understand what this woman's like. And I wish she'd get out of here. I think that she was kind of like a pain. There was something there and it was bothering him because she was there." And she sat there and had done this, and Simon, in his mind, would keep thinking these thoughts. And you wonder how we would have reacted or what we would have done. What would you have done if you would have been a Simon or if you would have been a Mary? What would your reactions been? But we find Jesus finally just says, "Let this woman alone. She's done more for me than any one of you." You remember, because Jesus had come in and they had sat down, and Simon never had the courtesy to even wash Jesus' feet or bring water to Jesus. And he could have brought some water to Jesus and washed his feet, which was common in those days. But he did not even do that. He wouldn't wash Jesus' feet. And Jesus kind of rebuked him on that. He says, "I come into your house and you've never..." But anyway, we find Judas as these thoughts are going through his mind. Also, Jesus never rebuked Simon for these. The Bible says, Sister White, she says if Jesus would have rebuked Simon of his thoughts, that he would have turned against Jesus and his heart would have been hard and he wouldn't have followed Jesus from then on. Because you recall how probably some of these same religious people that was there are the ones that set up Mary for her fall. Can you imagine they knew who did it? They had absolute proof, people looking through knot holes or something to see what was going on, and they brought her to Jesus as they're coming down the street. They wanted to know what to do with this woman. And finally, Jesus kneels down, you recall, and writes in the sand, and writes each one of their sins in the sand. And each one of us sometimes, if somebody brings up some of the things in the past that you or I have done, we just kind of clam up and don't say anything. And they just got up and just slowly disappeared. And Jesus finally asked her, "Where are all the people that accused you?" And Jesus says, "They've all left." And Jesus says, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." She knew she had been forgiven. 7 times that Jesus had cast out devils out of her because she was bothered with Satan so bad. So she had a lot to be thankful for, and that's the reason she was so anxious to tell Jesus and show her expression of gratitude for what he's done for her. Then all of a sudden we find that Judas, during this time, made up his mind what he's going to do. So it says he slipped away when it was part of this meal that they was there. It was several days. That he went to Jerusalem. He walked to Jerusalem, probably hurried, got to Jerusalem. Now I want you to picture this group of Pharisees and Levites together. These are the religious leaders of the nation. and of the times. And as Judas comes in, they're discussing what they have to do. They have to get rid of Jesus. They know that. And also, they have a big problem, what to do with Lazarus. The Sadducees didn't believe you could be resurrected, and so it really put a crimp in their religious beliefs. So as we find that Judas went in to talk with him, boy, they thought that was neat because he had turned against Jesus. And boy, they welcomed him. And as we find that he was in talking with them, they agreed finally 30 pieces of silver, he would turn over Jesus to them at the right time because he knew what Jesus did and where Jesus went all the time. So Judas had these terrible thoughts and went to do that. When Jesus was sitting there, it says before the meal that he just looked at Judas, those loving eyes, but the thoughts were so bad with Judas that there was no hope. But when he looked at Mary, she understood and she knew that the love of Jesus was so great. And Simon, he in turn finally realized that Jesus was more than just a teacher. Jesus knew his every thought, every action. Jesus knew that, and he knew that. And he realized that because of that, he accepted Jesus as the Redeemer and Savior of this world. And it changed his life completely, where Simon became dedicated to Jesus and God, and he followed him. We also remember that she is the only one that brought the ointment for Jesus' burial. And Jesus honored her. She was at the cross with Jesus, stayed at the cross. She was the first one at the tomb. She was the first one that talked to Jesus when he was raised from the dead. So she was honored, and Jesus had said she would be honored for the rest of her life for what she had done, because nobody else had done what she had done. And it was such a blessing. Even Nicodemus and Joseph, both of Arimathea, neither one of these men, even though they were wealthy, had never given anything to Jesus. And Nicodemus, you remember, had first met Jesus about 6 months after he had started his ministry. So Jesus was so kind to Nicodemus in that Nicodemus, you remember, says, "Could I talk with you, Jesus?" And I can just imagine he's off to the side where nobody's listening. He says, "I'd like to talk to you." And Jesus is such a character and attitude that he didn't want to offend anybody. So he told Nicodemus, "Yes, I'll meet you tonight." How many of us would do that to somebody? That wouldn't we want to say, "Well, just meet me here and we'll do it. If you don't want to meet me here, go jump." This is kind of our attitude. But Jesus was willing to meet him at night up on the Mount of Olives. And he went there and met him. And this is the way Jesus was always. He never brought anything to occlusion. When Judas challenged him, then he replied. But otherwise, he never said anything to Judas. He just looked in his eyes. Later on, then we find they go on to Jerusalem. We found when they had the trials and everything. And then we find Peter was there, and Jesus says, "When the cock crows 3 times, you will have denied me 3 times. And the cock crowed 2 times, and the second time, Jesus looked into his eyes with the eyes of love. Also, Judas brought the 30 pieces of silver in and threw them before the people. And Jesus certainly looked in his eyes. And the Pharisees and Sadducees just says, "We don't care about this." But Jesus looked into each one of these men's eyes and with compassion. And you can imagine, here we have 2 different men seeing Jesus look at them. 2 different men chose 2 different ways to walk. One went out and hanged himself, and one went out to Mount Olives and gave their heart to God. It would have been something if these 2 men could have run out together and gone to the same place. up to the Mount of Olives and give their heart. But Judas, we see what he did, and it was not the way God wanted, but it was the way he chose. He was so jealous and so hardened with Mary giving that money because he had been continually stealing money from the coffer of the disciples. The disciples also changed their attitude from this feast. They knew that God was more than just a teacher, even though they all denied him, but they eventually gave their heart to God. And I think you can take a picture in each one of these episodes, and you can see maybe where you would fit into this thing in life. What are your objects, or where's your goals? What do you want to do? Are you just going to be one of the people that tell stories about something you've seen? Or are you going to submit and be like Simon or Peter that gave their life to God, and the rest of the disciples that had also agreed and done this with God? And I think that's where you and I are today. Each one of us have to decide daily what we're going to do. We can either walk with Jesus, or we're going to walk the way of Judas, which we know is no hope in the end. I'd like to read here for closing John 14:9. Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And now sayest thou then, Show us the Father. Because thou hast not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe in me for the very work's sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye asked anything in my name, I will do it." So I'm proposing to you today, ask Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost what you can do in his name, and much will be accomplished, and much will be given to each one of us, is my prayer. Our God, as we come to you this Sabbath, we thank you. It's been a sad day in that Don Thompson has passed away, but Lord, he's in your arms and in your care until you come. And we ask each one of us, Lord, there's so many people that are in that need, but yet you loved us. You showed your love to us in Simon. You see it in Mary. You've seen it in each one of these people. And you love us with an everlasting love. It will always be. And you gave your life for us. And your Father gave you up for us. And that is a love that we cannot understand. Be with us this week is my prayer. Amen.